Okay, we're doing Shmuel Gimel, starting from Pasuk Tes tonight, and we're talking tonight about the Nevuah, the first of all which Shmuel received when he was a young lad at Shiloh. And first he thought that Eli was calling him when HaKadosh Baruch Hu called him. He went to Eli a couple of times, and then Eli told him finally the third time. After the third time, which Shmuel came in Pasuk Tes, Vayomer Eli l'Shmuel, Eli said to Shmuel, Lech, go, Shchav, lie down. Vayomer Yikra Elecha, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls out to you, V'amato, then you should say, then, Daber Hashem, speak to me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, you should know that it's not me speaking to you, but rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to you. Ki Shomea Avdecha, you should listen to me you should talk to me. Ki Shomea Avdecha, because your slave Shmuel is listening. Vayelech Shmuel, and Shmuel went Vayishkav in Kolon, he lay down again in his spot. Finally, this is the fourth time, Vayavo Hashem, Hashem came, Vayis Yatzev, and Hashem stood. Now, it's interesting, what does this mean, Hashem stood? According to the Radak, the fact that he stood, that says that Hashem stood, means that the Nevuah was not one which El Shmuel received from HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly, but rather via Malach. Because obviously, if it says that something stood there, it can be referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So therefore, Shmuel saw some form of a Malach, and that happens very frequently in Tanakh, that a Malach came and speaks in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then the Malach is allowed to invoke the name of Hashem, because the Malach is acting on Hashem's behalf at that time. So, Vayavo Hashem, I see Hashem, he stood there. Vayikra Kipam Bipam, and he called again, like previously, except this time he called twice to Shmuel and said, Shmuel, Shmuel. Vayomer Shmuel, Shmuel said, Daber, ki Shmuel Avdecha, you should speak because I'm listening to you. Could be you can support the Malbim's, the Radak's approach, that it was a Malach because Shmuel did not say, Daber Hashem, like Eli said to him to say, so possibly that's a proof for him. The Malbim says here, why Kodesh Baruch Hu calls to, or the Malach here, would call to Navi twice, like Shmuel Shmuel we have here, or sometimes we find Avram Avram, Moshe Moshe. So he says that it's to arouse the two parts of the Navi, both his Ruchnius and his Gashmius. In other words, the Navi has to be brought into the spiritual realm, but not just his intellect, but also his being and his self should be brought in. So therefore, there's always a double Kriya Shmuel Shmuel. Vayomer Hashem Shmuel Shmuel Pasuk Yud Aleph. Hashem said to Shmuel, he said Davar Bisrael. He wasn't going to do something in Israel. Asher Kol Shomal, that anybody who hears this thing, his two ears, modern Hebrew would say his ears what would ring, right? That's Rashi says Lashon Tzal Tzalim. So his ears are going to ring to ears because it's such a terrible, terrible thing. And on that day, when I do this terrible thing, which is not specified here in the Pasuk, we're going to find out later on, Bayomo, at that time, Akimel Eli, I will bring to Eli, in other words, the house of Eli, Esko Asherdi Barti Obeso, everything which I said to his household. Hachel V'Kalei, from that time on, I will start eradicating the household of Eli. And of course, we know that Eli's fate was that all of the members of his household would die young. Rashi says they would die at the age of 18. And at this point, the Malbim says, you know, it's clear for the Pasuk that this punishment began from the time of Eli's son's death, which will be in the next parak, and this punishment lasted from this point on throughout the rest of history. We'll talk about this in the next bus a little bit of detail, the next couple of psukim. Vigatilo, I will inform Eli, Kishafetani es beso, that I am judging his house ad olam forever. Bavon asher yada, because of the avera that he became aware. Kimekalim lahem banav, because his children are causing upon themselves a curse. Velo kihabam, and he did not rebuke them. So, here the Mefarshim say, already in the last part, Amalek. Eliyahu was told about this terrible thing which is about to befall his household. You'll hear it being reiterated again. So the repetition of the Gezerah seals their fate, tells us that they're doomed to this fate. The Radak has difficulty with this pasuk theologically, because this pasuk implies predestination. In other words, that all members of the house of Eli, for all time from here on in, are predestined to this terrible tragedy of dying young, etc.
Does that mean that the gates of Tshuva were totally closed?
It sounds like it, doesn't it?
That's what
it sounds like, which is what the Radak's problem is.
This is against what we know and all that Tshuva is?
Right, this is very much against what we know Tshuva is about. That's right. That's what bothers the Radak, precisely that. So I'd like to address the point in a couple of levels here. First of all, the Radak himself says, if you take a look in the Radak, he says, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, in where you see the Yud Gimel in the Radak, so three lines below that, about halfway, a little bit more than halfway through the line. Ba'avona dava sheyada u'ba'avono, in the matter, because of it, that he knew, because of this aver, yukezar olam, his children will be cursed forever. Shekosav, as it says, u'mashalim avon avos selchek b'neim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu repays the sin of fathers to their children, achareim, after them. Va'afo pi sheyu b'banim zakoim. Even though they'll have children who are meritorious, nonetheless, God already calls out and knows the generations ahead of time. He knows what's going to be in the future. And Hashem knew, there will not be among the children of Eli forever. She has zakai kokach, somebody who have so much merit, that his various of his fathers will not be recalled unto him. So in other words, the truth is that which we know Tshuva works and such like, it's not really all the way. It's only if you completely overcome, I shouldn't say not all the way, but it means that if you completely overcome the shortcomings of your forefathers, then that Tshuva works to eradicate or obliterate that Gezerah. But if you don't completely overcome the shortcomings of your forefathers, yes, the sin of the fathers is visited on the children.
Well, it seems almost like in this particular case, it was almost like predestined that they will not. If, when Rav Moshe spoke about
right,
what he's going to visit on them,
yeah,
it's already the door. It was already all set.
Right. So the way the Radak addresses it, which I don't like. I mean, it doesn't make you feel any better. But the Radak says that Hashem saw that all their children would be like that. It's not that he determined that they're going to be like that, but he saw that this would be the case later on. So therefore, the Kloah could come true because, in fact, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that that's the way the generations would be. Okay, I don't like it, but you understand what he's saying? You don't have to like it either. I'll give you another alternative when we get to the next pasuk. But that's what the Radak is saying in this pasuk. Okay? Now, just before we go out to the next pasuk, we'll speak about it. I want to point out that the Rashi and the other Mefarshim here, including the Radak, say that really the pasuk should have said, "Ashayyada ki mekalim li." That Eli knew that his children are cursing me, blaspheming me. It's just that it's not their chesed to say that about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so therefore it says it like we say in Gemara Lashon Saginar, that we call a blind person full of great light. In other words, a euphemism. So therefore the euphemism here is, we say, he knew that his children were cursing themselves, while we really mean to say that he knew his children were cursing him and denying my supremacy. Okay, let's see Pasuk Daf, which is a very, very critical pasuk. L'chein ishbati beisel, therefore I took an oath to the house of Eli. Im yiskaper avon beisel, if the aver of the house of Eli will be atoned for them, b'zevach u'mincha, by any karbonos ad olam forever. It's never, the chait of bnei Eli will never be atoned for by karbonos. Basically, through the karbon, they sinned, because they took karbonos which didn't have. Karbonos have lost their efficacy for them. It's worthless for them. Karbanos work for people who have covered for karbanos. You don't respect karbanos, you use it for your own personal gains, karbanos have no value for you. Now, it's interesting here too that, it's interesting that this Avera has ramifications throughout the generations. And it seems to me quite clear, although it's just my hypothesis, that this is very similar to the way Levi was chosen at Har Sinai. You'll recall why Shevet Levi was chosen to be Kohanim forever? Because when Moshe Rabbeinu said, Mila Hashem Eloi, you will come to me to fight, Vayas for Lo Kol Bnei Levi, all the Levim came.
Oh.
What? So, his reward is for all generations?
That was through a certain act.
Granted, but why is it, okay, fine, but why is it bred for all generations? It's a famous mice, mice of King seems kind of difficult to me, but they say it over, that when Rabbi Schwab went to the Chofetz Chaim for the first time, or maybe the only time, so Chofetz Chaim said to him, are you a Kohen? Said, no. So the Chofetz Chaim said, sounds so out of character, the Chofetz Chaim, that's why I'm skeptical about it, but this is what they say the Chofetz Chaim said. Chofetz Chaim said, I'm a Kohen, you're not. You know why you're not a Kohen? Because my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfathers at Har Sinai stood with Moshe Rabbeinu and fought everybody else. And yours didn't. And that's why I got it, and you didn't. And you should know, from this we see the power of a single act at one time in history. It can reverberate throughout the rest of history. I don't think Chofetz Chaim used the word reverberate, but it can reverberate throughout the rest of history forever and ever. And then he went out to tell Rabbi Schwab, you have to act out your life based on this principle. And true, you think any Levim knew that as a result of their act at Har Sinai, they'll be chosen forever and ever? Of course not. Yet that's the reality. The small act of Messias Nefesh, it was a large act, but it was one act of Messias Nefesh, and one time had ramifications throughout history, a major ramification. So I would say that the same thing is true here, and the exact opposite. The one sin at the time of the house, at the time of Eli, by the Kohanim, had an effect for all generations. Now I can explain it in a couple of ways. I think that has to do with the sensitivity of the Kohuna. In other words, Levim and Kohanim are special. And they're dealing, the Avodah is a very sensitive thing. The Avodah used to be with the Bechiris before Har Sinai. It's so sensitive that if they lost it at that one point because of perhaps a minor thing, a blip in history, no, it's no such thing. It has a ramification for Ad Sof Kol HaDoros. And here too, there was a minor thing. The children of Eli know it's no minor thing with the Karbanos. Yeah, if you're a commoner, yes. But if you're not a commoner, if it's talking about the Avodah, the Bechoros lost it in a moment for all of history, Bnei Levi got it because they were there to take their place at that moment, and Eli lost it here for all of history. Because to be a Kohen implies special responsibilities, unique level of sensitivity. And if you muff it up, then the ramifications can be terrible.
Aaron's two sons,
right. But that wasn't for all generations, but you see the same principle involved there, that's right. Now, in getting back to this issue, Chazal tells us, Rabbah brings it down here, that b'zevach u'mincha eino miskaper. The chet of Bnei Eli is not miskaper u'zevach u'mincha, but with Torah and Gemilas Chassadim it is miskaper. The children of Vals of Eli will be osig in Torah and Gemilas Chassad, then they will all be saved. But then they'll be saved. The people who learn Torah and are involved in Gemilas Chesed. Why is that? So, of course, in order to understand that, we have to turn to Reb Tzadok. So, turn to page 8. Actually, 7. On 8 are my notes. But on page 7, on the right hand side, Reb Tzadok says, Right after where I have the first underline, right after that's over, my first place where it's underlined, right, V'chein Beis Eli, Amuzal, Chazal tells about Beis Eli, Shabbos Taf Nun Hei, Chet Amayikra Vivi Zayin Kachim, that the primary sin was being degrading the Kachim, Da'asheish Kavun, and that which it says had relations with the women, it's not that they really did, Anushushin Goyma, Anushushin Kineishim, Kineim, they delayed their Kabanos, to Gaki Mitzah Bizayin Kachim is also degrading to the Kachim, Zeo Lid Kedusha Samiktosh. This brought about the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. What does that mean? Kedusha is Gaos Kavod Shemayim, the revelation of the honor of heaven. Petokit, with great strength. Ki chetam nikra b'rosh na'kosov. Their chet is called by the pasuk chatas anurim, by the sin of the young ones, the goyim. The chatas anushogi, chatas is unintentional. Unari mashma to meisen naru slavad. And narim is also seems to indicate that it's just a narisha thing, a thing of immaturity. Vainu, why? Kibinarus yesh la'adam tokef ava. When a person is young, he has the power of love, the simcha and joy, which person based on his own approach. Vinyanim in his matters, v'ayvin Hashem, and some, and he worships God, but now Russo in his youth, avadasam simcha yisayim, he worships with an additional measure of fervor. Kamosha kasu, tashir ashirim, amash lomu yadus, like we say, tashir ashirim, said in his youth. V'chem b'cha'olim, and besides that, we see in the world in general, Avram, Avila Rav Hashem, Avram, the first Jew, who has chola in the beginning, haya b'taik of Avram, was with great strength of love. V'achas knows Yitzchak, and afterwards comes to slowing down a little bit. Yitzchak brought Yirah came the fear. Or b'shul taik of Avram, and because of Echofni Pinchas's great love, Echofni Pinchas's sons of Eli's great love, with Echusam and their attempt to cling to Hashem, Zamolid Miut Yirah that brought about a little bit less Yirah of a Derech Eretz. Achshin Yirah ki b'zoyan kachim chasrim to look like they degraded kachim. The Kibul Achshin, they got their punishment, Dr. Smedel, Dugmas Nodav Vaviu. Like not in my view. The Nigram Shviasar, and ultimately it caused that the honor was taken to captivity, Shudugma's Kor Beis HaMikdash is like the structure of Beis HaMikdash. Vizetam, Shama, Rev Yosar, and that's why David HaMelech, many years later, told Rev Yosar from the children of Eli, Anasos Lechel Sadecha. Go back to your field in Anasos, a city for Kohav Kohanim. Kildua Vemedish Echa, Anasos Vimlav, Anasos, Hayemi, whatever. Anosis has to do with destruction based on Mikdash. Let's skip that. Anyway, let's go to the next verse. I have it underlined. V'amuzach Hazal say in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches, the miskaper avon based Eli b'Torah. The aveir of that Eli is atoned for with Torah. The rak b'zavach mincha in miskaper. Not with korbanos. The Torah who dagodi to the Torah is their level. Shehein bizu inyan ayira. They denigrated the concept of yira, and therefore bachru b'tkifus va'oz the Torah. They chose to be too much involved in ava and in lust of various different sorts. I'm not sure if this reads exactly correctly, but what he means is that they used the power and fervor of Torah for the wrong purposes, and therefore they need something to restrain them and bring them back. And since it was if they were too familiar with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they can't be atoned for with korbanos. The korbanos took must feel to have a korban, which is tefillah, tzarech yira, you have to have moira. We also ikar, that's primary. Masheki b'Torah, as opposed to Torah, simcha ikar, their simcha is primary. Rakhi also contains the chokmah, so just a little year before, and I'll explain this in a minute. The Kohanim, thereby Kohanim says, that name or more, they have to have fear. The Zariqa of Kohen Gadol, it's prior for Kohen Gadol. L'chei nitchu nadav aviyu beis eli mikuna gula, that's why nadav aviyu beis eli pushed off from guna gdola. Avo mikom akom, alright, let's leave out the rest of it. No, it's what he's saying is like this. The aver of the house of Eli was that they were too great in their midah of ava, their midah of love. And their midah of love led them, or I should not say love, but their midah of haste and of lust led them astray. Led them astray in a way which Chazad, the Chum, the Navi tells us that it's as if they had relations with the women. That means that it had some level, at some level, a connection. There was a link between their Avera and Averas of Taiva. Whether they actually did it or not is immaterial. But there was a link to that. In those link, their Aver was one of Taiva. Says of Tzadik, you know what you do with Aver of Taiva? There are two ways to deal with it. Either you get a lot of Yira, because Ezu Gibor HaKodesh is Yitzro, you get a lot of restraint, which comes from fear of heaven. Or if you can't do that, you work on your Taiva and you channel it. So how do you channel it? By using it for the love of Taiva, for love of Kleis, or for love of good things. Okay. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, B'zevach u'mincha inu mechaper. Zevach u'mincha, the avon in the Beis HaMikdash, the primary focus of the Beis HaMikdash was Mora Mikdash, fear of God, fear of heaven, and awe, a reverence. Basically, they don't belong there. They're kind of, you know, lusty, bawdy, you know, people a little bit too bubbly, frivolous. They can't deal with that era. They can't be kind of though. They can't instill the proper atmosphere of the Beis HaMikdash. But I tell you what, says Hashem, you know what you got to do with them? Korbanos, no. Yira is not their forte. We have something for them. Torah and Gemilus Chesed. Torah, a drive for the for taiva can be rechanneled to Avas HaTorah. What's Gmilus Chesed? Avas Yisrael. A drive for Ava towards your fellow Jew, misplaced, can be redirected in a proper way. So therefore, the House of Eli, Moira they don't have. Yira, no, that's not their forte. And Kosh Baruch Hu obviously foresaw this was never going to be a forte. Kohen Gadol, he's the source of Yira. He's got to bring about that awe, that reverence, that Moira Mikdash. It ain't going. That's why, by the way, Kohanim have a temper. Why Kohanim have a temper? Because if you are in that side of the coin which advocates or stresses awe, reverence, fear, part of that is misused, is anger. That's why we regard Kohanim as being relatively quick. You all know that? Kohanim are supposed to be alikas, like redheads, like us. So I'm not a Kohanim, I'm a redhead, but same idea. But in any event, so Kohanim are supposed to have Yira, Moira, and sometimes it gets led astray by going too far in that direction. So basically, they weren't suitable for that. They can't be Kohanim Gedolim, no matter what. Moira from the House of Eli, we're not going to find. What we can do in order to bring them back, in order that they shouldn't be lost forever, give them Ava. Yes, they're very good at that. What Ava should we give them? Avas Hashem, Avas Torah, Avas Yisrael. That's what will be Mechaper for the Avera. So we talk about predestination. The answer is, you know what? There is no predestination. You guys have got a problem. You've got a genetic problem. The House of Eli has a problem with proper Moira. You got a problem? You have too much Taifa. Well, untreated problem of Taifa will lead you to this terrible end. You should be aware of it, though. Kosh Baruch will send you a warning signal. Guys, wake up. Know the terrible tragedy of Taifa. You know what? Work on it. How do you work on it? Rechannel it. Use it. Change that trait, channel it into Torah and Ma'asim Tovim. Now, truth is, Bizman Hazeh, I'm sure we don't know people from the House of Eli. All our genealogical lines are so diluted. We don't know if our Kohanim are real Kohanim. We don't know what families of Kohanim they come from anymore. But there were, at the time of Chazal, the Torah tells us, the Gemara tells us, that there were pockets of communities in Bavel where people from the House of Eli actually lived. Abaye knew he was from the House of Eli. There are people who actually knew that, and therefore they had to be taught this takara in order to be able to live a longer life.
They were just ahead of their time.
All right. In any event, moving right along.
They're saying every tikkun, every punishment is also a tikkun. So in Stama, when there's a churban beis hamikdash, Hashem is still telling the same message to all of Klal Yisrael. Carbon is no longer an appropriate.
Oh, that's a different point you're making.
Us.
Is that what you meant to say?
So,
that was very cryptic.
Well, I mean, it's referring to us, but yeah. Extended.
I thought you meant the pun, you know, like they were dying ahead of time. But, So, in other words, now, Zerach, right. No, you're right. That's a very good point you're making. I like that. Yeah, that's really a very Hasidic point, which doesn't make it wrong. Which is, no, I think it's true. That Golus is an indication to us that Karbonos wouldn't work for us. Were Karbonos to be the Eitzah for us, Bizman Hazeh, we would have Karbonos. By virtue of the fact that we haven't had no Karbonos for 2,000 years, it's a sign Karbonos are not what's going to get it for you. You guys, you have no Shaykhus to Moira Mikdash. I'm not going to give you a Besa Mikdash. That really is not the Eitzah for you people, Bizman Hazeh. All of us, in a larger sense of this problem of the House of Eli, we have this problem with Taifa. So therefore, the way to get around it, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, from now on, after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, focus on Torah. Talmud Bavli, the primary portion of Torah. Rav Tzadok stresses this many times. When and where was it written? In Bavel, outside Eretz Yisrael, at the time of Golus. This is how to deal with Golus. The way to deal with Golus is a time and a sign from Hashem to work on this area, to work on this area of Torah, Arvas Torah, Navas Yisrael. Right? Nebuch, I mean, we haven't been very successful at it, but that's really what it's about. Okay. Let's go on. Next pasuk. Pasuk Yudalad now we have to leave her up to. I just said Yudalad. Tezvav. Vayishkav Vayishkav Shmo Arabo, okay? Shmo, after he got this korba, after he got this, the boy still slept in the morning. Vayitach his house was based Hashem, and then he opened up the doors to the house of God. That was his job, obviously. You know, Shmo was a Levi, and Levim had two jobs in the base of Mikdash. They were singers, Mishorarim, and gatekeepers, Shoarim, and obviously that was Shmuel's job. Ushmo Yarei Miyagidah Samara El Eli. Needless to say, Shmo was afraid to tell over the vision which he saw to Eli. Vayikra Eli Shmo, so Eli called Shmo, Vayomer, he said, Shmo b'nei. Vayomer and Shmuel, the same way he answered Hashem the night before, Vayomer and then he said, here I am. Vayomer said, Mo adover asher diber elecha, what is the matter which Hashem spoke to you about? Alma, please, do not tichachet, conceal me many. Kol yaseh l'chol l'kim, and may the master of judgment do to you this, v'chol yosif, and add on to you. In other words, here, like the Mepharshim say, was pointing at his kids, Chofni u'Pinchas. And he's saying, I don't know if literally, but this is the idea of saying, if you don't tell me, my bracha to you, quote unquote, is that you should have kids like mine. And it's not true. Chazal learned from Yekil as Chacham Afilu al Tanayiba. Even though Shmuel told them, Shmuel Taka had kids who were not as upstanding as he himself. We'll see that later in the Sefer. So it was Niskayim in him. Koya Sel Chalokin, this God should do to you, Koya Sifan, he should do it to add on. It Chachemi many, if you hide from me, Dovar, anything. Because Dovar Shadi by Lechav, anything which HaKosh Baruch Hu said to you. Vayagelo Shmuel's cause Barnes, what's Shmuel going to do? He told him everything. The Loki came in and didn't hide anything from him. Vayomer. Vayomer. Eli said, Hashemu, he's God, Hatov Beinov Yaseh. That which is good in his eyes, he will do. This is a very interesting thing which Eli is saying here. First of all, Eli is using Havaya, Yudke Vavke, not Elohim. What does he mean by that? Sounds like a judgment, you know? We should say Baruch Dayan Emes, right? Why is he saying the Shem Midas Arachamin? So obviously, it seems to me obvious, that this is part of a tefillah. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Eli is saying, may Hashem do that which is good. Now, along those lines, why does it say, bother me immensely, why does it say Einav here without a Yud? Normally, how do you spell Einav? Ayin Yud Nun Yud Vav. It's Ayin Yud Nun Vav. It's missing the second Yud. So what does that mean? It only appears this way three times in Tanakh. Bother me. What's the shot? So I'm just going to speculate here. This is pure free association and no guarantee there's any truth to what I'm about to say, but it's never stopped me before. Won't stop me now. And I believe that if it says, if we know that Eine, wherever it says Eine Hashem, it means the Hashkoch of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is directed at somewhere. It says, by Eretz Yisrael, Eine Hashem Olkecha Bo Meirei Shishona Vad Acharei Shishona. God is constantly surveying and checking and rechecking Eretz Yisrael. Now, that's bad. Why is that bad? I'm certain, obviously, at a certain level it's good, but why is that bad? Why would that be bad if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was constantly checking up on something? Kosh Baruch Hu medaktechim tzadikha b'chut asar. B'chut asar is being, when Kosh Baruch Hu is mashgiach on something very closely, it means he's very medaktech with it. So Eli is saying, I hope Hashem only pays attention with one eye, so to speak, not with both eyes. In other words, the midas harachamim, part of midas harachamim, could be that Hashem should not look at us so closely and so meticulously punish us. Mida connected Mida exactingly for what we did wrong. Let Hashem glass over a little bit. Not Einov, both of them. Einov, one eye. So that we won't have this, but won't have continuously this problem. Now, in this regard, making strange noises. All right, hope for the best. Now, in this regard, I think also that Hatov, when it says Hatov, it's also included. You see, it says Hashem Hatov Beinov Yaseh. I think it's also a play on words, because we know that the house of Eli would be atoned for if there would be Tovei Ayin. Tov Ayin Hu Yivorach, the pasuk tells us. If they would have a good eye, if they would do Kabbalah Chesed with others. So I'm saying, it's saying a couple of levels of meaning here. First of all, saying Hashem Midas Rachamim, who He Hashem has Midas Rachamim, should be merciful on us. Secondly, Atov Beinov Yaseh, He should do good and only look at us with one eye. In other words, He should be not so judging with us. Finally, Atov Beinov, if we can be Tovei Ayin, if we can have good eyes, if we can have Kabbalah Chesed, then Hashem will have midas arachmim on us as well. Hashem will have rachmanus on us. That's interesting. But the Malbim, all this was my approach to the pasuk, but the Malbim has an exactly diametric opposite approach. The Malbim says that when he says Hashem hu atov bein av yaseh, he's saying Hashem said this with such finality, with such determination, it must be that Hashem sees this as being good. And this is a midah of Hashem which will not be changed. He must for sure be intending to do it, Yaseh, and it must be considered by him as a good thing because he said it and reiterated and repeated it and took a shvuah. So therefore, it's clear that this is Hashem's master plan. At this point, there's no changing the decree. Okay? Vaigdal Shmuel. Shmuel got older. Hashem was with him. Hashem did not cause any of the promises which were made of which Shmuel. Excuse me. For a period caused by Avatar, anything which Shmuel predicted came true. Anything Shmuel said always came true. That's one quality of a Navi, and all of Klal Yisrael knew that. The second quality of a Navi, which all of Klal Yisrael became aware of, is Vayeda Kol Yisrael Midan Vad Be'er Sheva. All of Klal Yisrael from Dan in the north to Be'er Sheva in the south knew Ki Ne'emad Shmuel a Navi LaHashem. That Shmuel was true to be a Navi LaHashem. In other words, he not only had his own personal visions, but rather, besides that, he had prophecies for all of Klal Yisrael. The first pasuk just tells us that anything Shmuel said, it happened. The second pasuk tells us that he was sent. He was Neman. He was a trustworthy agent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Finally, the third pasuk Chafal tells us that Yosef Hashem Le'roh B'Shiloh, not only was Shmuel a Navi, we began the perek, although you don't have it here, photocopy. The perek said in days of Shmuel, before Shmuel came, there was not much Nevuah in Klal Yisrael. Now, Vayesav Hashem Le'ol B'Shil, Hashem manifests himself in Shil constantly, all the time. Kinihu Hashem Shmuel B'Shil, because Hashem revealed himself to Shmuel in Shil, it spilled over to everybody else. B'Var Hashem and the Word of God. Why does it speak about this pasuk a little bit here? A couple of things here. First of all, the Malbim here, as I said, enumerates the three qualities of the Nevuah unique in Shmuel, right? That things were fulfilled, he was misnabi for Klal Yisrael, and of course some more members of Klal Yisrael experienced the Nevuah, particularly in Shiloh. The question is, one of the questions of Pesukim is, what does Dvar Hashem mean? Bidvar Hashem. That at the end of Pasuk Chaf Aleph. So either means that the beginning of the parable began that Udvar Hashem HaYoker Bayomi Mayim Ein Chazon Nifrat. There wasn't much of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give much Nevuah. So therefore, that now became much more prevalent, the Dvar Hashem. Or it might mean that Dvar Hashem is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted Chana's Tefillah. It was the promise Hashem made to Chana to give her a child who would be outstanding in all these respects was fulfilled in Shmuel. But there are a couple of other things this person wants to speak about. First of all, you note there's an inconsistency in Pasuk Chaf Aleph. What's the inconsistency?
Hashem's name is mentioned three times.
Well, that's not inconsistent. Tell me something inconsistent.
Well, it says revealed himself until he revealed himself before.
Much more simple level.
It says by Yosef.
How she was spelled the first time?
With a.
Second time? First time she was spelled with a, second time without a, with a vav. Why is it changed mid pasuk? Strange, isn't it? I would say like this. At the beginning of the pasuk, we're talking about Klal Yisrael. By Yosef Hashem Le'ol B'Shil, he showed himself to all of Klal Yisrael in Shiloh. Because it was like, you know, the cup which you fill up and it overflows. So Hashem showed himself to Shmuel and that overflowed to all of Klal Yisrael. And also the difference, in the beginning it says, Le'roh B'Shilo. Everybody else saw Hashem. But to Shmuel there was not just a Re'il, but a Giloy, a revelation, a much stronger language. Okay? So I want to say it like this. This is good. I made this up myself too, but so on. It's good anyway. The Vav in the second Shiloh corresponds to the Vav in Shem Hashem. And the Hey in the first Shiloh corresponds to the Hey in Shem Hashem, the last Hey. What's a hey, the last hey in Shem Hashem? It has many connotations. One of them, Rabbi Arya Kaplan writes this in several places. It's a hand. Hand is five fingers, hey, which receives. In the Shem Hashem, there's the Yud, which is the Kedusha. Then there's the first hey, which is the hand which gives, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands. Then there's the Vav, Vav HaChibur, right? Vav always connects. That connects from Hashem's hand. To hey, the last hey, which is our hand, the receiving hand. So yeah, Hashem is giving Nebuah. Okay, that's the Yud and the K. First Yud, first hey. Hashem is giving the Nebuah. Who's the conduit of the Nebuah? Who's the Vav HaChibur? Shmuel. Who's the recipient of the Nebuah? Bnei Yisrael. So Bnei Yisrael are connoted here by the final hay, the hay which receives. That's the Shiro with the hay. Shmuel is connoted with the Vav, the connection, the pipeline, so to speak. Vav also represents a pipe because it's a straight line. So he's the pipeline, and that's the Vav in the second Shiro, which is with the name Shir Shmuel. You don't trust the reading? Okay. What? You have a different theory? Okay, while you're thinking about your theory, I want to go back to Pasuk Chav for a minute. In Pasuk Chav, we spoke about Don Vad Be'er Sheva. Now, this is a common phraseology throughout Tanakh. You know, anything which we want to say was known throughout Klal Yisrael, we say was known from Don to Be'er Sheva. So, of course, Reb Tzadok doesn't think that anything is commonplace. And Reb Tzadok comments on why Dafka from Don to Be'er Sheva. Why do we take these two cities as being the two poles of Eretz Yisrael? So take a look again on page 7. It's actually in last week's parsha. In Memches, in the third column. Be'er Sheva is called Be'er Sheva, Kisham Nishbush name, because there they both took their oath. Be'er Sheva, he cuts Eretz Yisrael. Be'er Sheva is the limit of the border of Eretz Yisrael in the south. Kamoshkosa, he says, Midon Vad Be'er Sheva. Kiesh, there are two different types of shortcomings. Kiesh lates, there are lates. Well, how do you translate a lates in English?
Lazy, mocker.
Scoffer. Okay, we'll get to it in a minute. Kiesh lates, there are scoffers, the upesi, and then there are idiots, fools. Shame snakes of us are two different points, two different chesrenes. Kimosha Shamati, like I heard from the Ishbitzer, Adrashus Vazal, Adrashim Chazal, late stake, beat the scoffers, Amalek. Upesi Yarim, but the fool, he'll be able to come in a backhanded way, Zay Yisrael. That's Yisrael. How so? Pesi Mami L'chol Dover. A fool believes everything. He's gullible. Umole Avodis L'chol Dover, and he worships many, many things. Yisrael Lainiach Avodizor, Yisrael didn't leave any Avodizor which he didn't worship. For late, say no Mami Klaal. A late, a scoffer, doesn't leave anything. Vein Oiv Klaal, he's never Oiv anything. Ulol, and the best thing is always an Emtsoi, in the middle, Hukava Yosha. That's the golden mean. Aviyeshkam Kotzekush, however, on the other hand, there's sometimes when the poles are also holy. We talk about them, sometimes they're good. V'don, Ulosh and Avodazara. Don, we know they went to Avodazara. Where is Pesel Micha? Where did it end up? In Don, right? V'Kamosha Kotzev Shabbos, Samazayim Beis. They're full of Avodah Zarah. Excuse me. That's what Chazal said. Ain l'chol gadol b'shvat miyuda, no greater shame than Yehuda. The yored, and there's no lower shame than Dan. They start from Lechus HaMishkan. They join together to build the Mishkan and build the Beis HaMikdash. Ki amuz abe imgila, because Chazal said imgila, ha'kaver b'Avodah Zarah. So he goes against the Dan and denies Avodah Zarah. Niko Yehudi is called a Jew, but from Shevet Yehuda. Mordechai Yehudi. Because he repudiates Avodah Zarah. The Don at Kotzach or Moly Avodah Zarah. Don at the northern end was full of Avodah Zarah. Obedient Beis HaMikdash, and the Bill Beis HaMikdash, of course, who avoided was the service of God. The Tzor Shitiv's name has to be a partnership between Yudah and Don. Kyudosh Lehmus HaMaisim Kyadu. Yudah means to do things properly. Kyadu, as well known, Dov HaMelch, Mor Shlehmus, Dov did things perfectly. Moshe Kotzach, like it says, Yodecha, Chados, your hands were sharp, or Charutzos, and diligent. The Don of Koch HaMaisim, Don also does things. It's not the time to explain that. Anyway, that's Zopesi to Kedusha. A stama fool is some Yisraelit Avodah Zarah. A holy fool is a person who's involved in Avodah to a great extent. Too much, perhaps. So a little bit of a, you know, too from. So a done person could be either involved in Avodah Zarah, or can be very, very fervently attached to Avodah Hashem. Right? That's a pethi, a fool. But you all know people put on their hats to say Asher Yotzar. I don't know if you know people like that, but there are people like that. You're laughing, I know that. That's a pessy. And a pessy can be used for good purposes. And that's why Don helped to build the base of Mikdash with a little bit of help from Yehuda. A Donite can be turned around, become very holy. However, what's a late? Hi, what do you do with the late? And then he brings an amazing medrash. Zeru shekosim shmos rabbi, didn't look it up, but it must be an amazing medrash from what he quotes. Pesi yamin choldover zem Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu is like a pesi. In other words, everything he received from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he had to accept. He couldn't have his own input. A fool, everything he hears, he accepts. So Moshe was, on a certain aspect, like a pesi. What could he argue with? It's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He gave a Torah which was full of avodah and full of ma'aser. For leitz to kedusha, what's a leitz in kedusha? Who be'er sheva? Haroim is lemidah Shabbos. Be'er sheva alludes to Shabbos. The seventh day, amuchunah be'zor ba'sheva is called the seventh daughter, the daughter of seven. Who be'er sheva kaidu amenucha? Be'er sheva is a time of his rest. Ve'er avodah and lack of avodah. The lack of avodah is Shabbos. A bad person who acts upright is a scoffer, a late, that's Amalek. A good person who acts avodah is Shabbos when there's no longer any need to be an avodah. Why? Because Shabbos is in Olam Haba. The whole week it's hard to find the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Be'er Sheva, Shabbos. You don't need to be avodah. Things just come on their own. So, somebody who's a late in Tumah, how are you going to turn him around? He's a scoffer. He's not going to accept anything. That's Amalek. Pesi, late takeh. The only thing you do with the late, on the negative side, beat him up. Get rid of him. But somebody who at the same time, is not somebody who uses the meter of late sonos bekedusha, meaning that he doesn't feel a need to be drawn after Avodah because it all comes on its own, that's okay. Such a person, Samida Be'er Sheva. The truth is, though, that he can't be like that the whole week. Yeah, Shabbos, it'll come on its own. Shabbos, Mein Olam Haba, what are you going to do the rest of the week? The rest of the week, you need to work. So neither the Kedusha of Don, which is always to do Avodah all the time, that's no good. It's too from, quote unquote. Ati Tzadik Harbi, Shlomo Melch says. The Kedusha Be'er Sheva, to rest and rely on the Kedusha coming on its own. The concept of Shabbos is also no good. At Shabbos is good, but the rest of the week you can't do Shabbos. So the rest of the week you have to do Avodah, but in measure. So that's the middle. Be'er Sheva is too much one way. Don is too much the other way. They have to put the place for Avodah Hashem directly in the middle. Where's that? Yerushalayim. That's what he says. And then he says, and he goes on to say, which connects to the Reb Tzurkin said before, that Yira is the place of Avodah. In other words, Yira makes things exactly strikes a balance, right? If you raise Shamayim in the proper level, so on the one hand, you're going to always make sure to be an Ovid Hashem. On the other hand, you'll make sure not to go too far. And he goes on to discuss this more, but in any event, this is going to be important later on, that Be'er Sheva is one and Don is the other, and these are two different aspects. Don, too much avodah. Be'er Sheva, no avodah at all. Yerushalayim in the middle, the proper balance between the two. It's divine service, yeah. Because again, as I said, that's why I brought the example. A guy puts on a hat every time he says, and I'll show you that song. You go overboard. Religion can be, there's a lot of papers written, I know a lot, but there are papers written on when religion becomes obsessive compulsive. There's a danger, right? One has to avoid that. Right? Yeah. That's right. But of course, we're all normal. But, yeah. What did you want to say before?
Oh, about Shiva and Shiva?
Yes.
I really have to look at that. I shouldn't say it. My theory is that one refers to the Mishkan and the other refers to the Sriva, the city.
To the city.
Yeah.
In other words, when it says Shiva with a Vav, that's the Beis HaMikdash? That's what Shmuel was?
Shiva with a Hey is the Beis HaMikdash.
So how do you read the Pasuk?
I'll prove it in a number of ways. The reason I'm read the pasuk is when Hashem is lehei ra'ot. First of all, lehei ra'ot is generally a greater revelation than usually occurs in the Beis Hamikdash.
Okay.
In Mishkan, that must have been just like in the Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni, there were certain miracles. So in Shiloh, in the Mishkan, there were certain miracles that Hashem's presence was more obvious.
Yeah.
And Hashem's presence, in other words, by Shmuel, one feeds the other.
Yeah.
Hashem's presence was more obvious because of Shmuel, that there was a personality like Shmuel and Klal Yisrael.
Okay.
Because there was a personality like Shmuel and Klal Yisrael, Hashem manifested in a greater way in the Mishkan.
Yeah.
And you also see in other places, for example, and the second one refers to the city, Shmuel, with a vav.
So read the pasuk.
Hashem's
had a greater revelation.
Greater revelation within
in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, yeah.
Ki nigla Hashem al Shmuel b'Shiloh b'dvar Hashem, because Shmuel was in the city of Shiloh and was able to accept the nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch.
So you only hear those on a higher madrigal than nigla. It's a direct vision as opposed to a general revelation.
And you see in the later psukim in the same parak, or actually in the next parak,
that
ki nigla eleinu b'Shiloh et aron b'rit Hashem. Notice that Aron Brit Hashem is referred to as coming from Shiloh,
yeah,
with a hey. And likewise,
hey,
if you go to the Pasuk Chav Hey in Perek Aleph.
Yeah. You're referring to Pasuk Gimel in Perek Aleph, right?
Right.
Yichai Lenem Yishiloh is Aron Brit Hashem with a hey.
Right.
Okay.
And one of the first times we see Shiloh, when they go to Shiloh, it also says, and it also seems consistent with the concept. Vayal kafal paragalaf pasuk kafal vayal aishal kamar v'chol beit ol yizboa kashem et zevachayim v'vidro
pum.
Yeah,
there's a Shiloh somewhere in there.
Okay.
Oh, here it is. Okay.
Pasuk
chaf dalet.
Yeah.
Right. I'll just read. Vataleui makasher gemaltav befarim shlosha veifa achad kema benevel yain vatviel beis Hashem Shiloh with a vav.
Shiloh with a vav.
So again, it's referring to the karbanos.
Yes, and Shiloh.
Referring to Shiloh and Mishkan.
Very
interesting.
Right. That's look. We have to look in the Kongonatov. It's interesting theory. So you're saying that Shiloh with a vav is the city. And Shiloh with a hay. Shiloh with a hay is the mikdash. Yeah.
Right.
Shiloh with a hay is the mikdash.
Yeah,
but that's the city of Shiloh, isn't it?
No.
Oh. Wow. Fly in the ointment there then.
It was above then.
Which pasuk was that?
Chaf Gimel.
Chaf Gimel.
Chaf Gimel.
Mr. Zuber, give it to me a second, please.
Yeah, sure.
We're on the cutting edge of biblical exegesis here. Too late now.
But the view based on Shem Shula with a vav. Yeah, it's not going to work. It doesn't seem to work. Can you glow? No, it won't work.
It does work. Now I remember my original
thought. Okay.
Beit Hashem Shiloh.
Yeah.
Of course it wouldn't make sense to say Beit Hashem twice. Shiloh with a hey would be like saying Beit Hashem, Beit Hashem. Beit Hashem b'Shiloh means
oh, Beit Hashem in the city of Shiloh.
Shiloh, that's what.
Okay, so that one, all right. So
it didn't make sense.
Okay, so Beit Hashem Shiloh is the house of God in the city of Shiloh. So Shiloh, you were sticking with that. Shiloh hey is the mikdash, and Shiloh above is the city. All right, we'll have to see if that can be proved. I'm skeptical, but maybe. All right, let's go to the next parak. Vayidvar Shmuel Rechol Yisrael. The word Shmuel went to all of Klal Yisrael. Now, according to the Radak, he's single solitary opinion, and I don't think this is right. Shmuel Radak says Shmuel commanded them to go to the war, which we're going to learn about. That was the Dvar Hashem. This is extremely, it seems highly unlikely, as that would basically be a nevuah for them to go out and get killed. And I don't think there's ever been a nevuah in Klal Yisrael that a Navi told Klal Yisrael, go out to war, and all you guys should get slaughtered. Doesn't sound right. Doesn't sound like the type of thing Hashem would send a Navi for. So most of the Pashim don't say it. They say, the prophecy given to Shmuel that the house of Eli would be doomed would now be verified by the war which is about to occur. Not that Shmuel commanded them to go. Yisrael went out to the Philistines on Milchama, to the war. Vayachanu al Eben Ezer, and they camped on a place called Eben Ezer. Vayuplishtim chonu ba'afek, and the plishtim camped in Afek. Eben Ezer, the Mepharshim say, was not yet called that. It was only called that later in Sefer Shmuel, but the Navi is writing historically. Vayachu plishtim, and the plishtim waged war against, literally means they set up the battle, because, you know, in the old days, up to the 19th century, battles were set pieces. You ever seen, you know, how the redcoats used to wage battle, and that's how they lost so many men, because they used to wage battle in formations, right? That's why when the Indians attacked the British, they were very, very successful. They just shot because they didn't wage war in formations. They waged guerrilla warfare. But anyway, that's why always it's called, wars are called in Tanakh, marachos, formations. Because each side will make a formation and attack the other formation. So the war spread out of the formation, in other words, back towards beyond, towards the Israeli lines. And the Jews were afflicted before the Plishtim. And they smote in the formation in the field. About 4,000 people. Now, needless to say, the people were very disheartened by this. The people came to the camp. Why did God smite us today before the Plishtim? Let's take from Shiloh, the Aron Bris Hashem, the Aron, and it will come. Bikyubenu within us. Yoshienu will save us from the hands of our enemies. Let me pause and I'll come back to this. Vayishlach ha'am Shiloh, and the nation sent a message to Shiloh. Vayisu misham asaron b'yis Hashem, they took the Aron from there. Hashem Tzvakos, the Lord of the Aron of God of the Lord of Hosts. Yoshua Kulim sits him up between the cherubim. Visham shnei b'nei Eli ma'aron b'yis Hashem, and there were the two sons of Eli who came with the Aron b'yis Elokim. Chavni b'pinchas, Chavni b'pinchas. Now, couple of things. First of all, the Malbim is a beautiful, beautiful interpretation of these two psukim. The Abarbanel gives four reasons why the Aron was taken into captivity. And he explains that those four reasons are explicit in the pasuk. The first reason is, first of all, in pasuk Gimel, when they came back and made a cheshbon, the Zikne Yisrael, they didn't say, why did Hashem cause us to fall? Because we're Rishayim, or because we're Daftan Tshuva, or because we have some Aveiros. They said, it must be because we didn't have the Aron. That's the first reason the Aron fell. What happens if you fall in war? What do you do? Tshuva. What do they do? No tshuva. They thought they were fine and dandy. Let's just take the Aron. That in and of itself was the second Aveira. The second Aveira was, what's the Aron? A magic talisman? An amulet? An Aron works how? If you have the spirit of the Aron. If they just felt, if we take the Aron, it'll be fine. Everything be well and good. Without the spirit, just the object itself. Like a good luck charm. That's the second Avera. So the third Avera is that they took it from, without permission. They didn't ask Eli. They sent the message and they took it. Vayisu misham. No permission. And the fourth is the reason why the Aron was taken is because who accompanied it? Our good buddies, Chofni and Pinchas. These guys, those are the people you send. So therefore, the Aron was taken to captivity. Now, let's involve a couple of other things in these psukim. First of all, they call the Aron in Pasuk Gimel Aron Bris Hashem. What does the Navi call it? Aron Bris Pasuk Dalet Aron Bris Elokim. They thought, oh, Midas HaRachamim. What did the Aron come out to be? It's not so simple. Midas HaDin. It's going to, if you don't treat the Aron properly, the Aron doesn't treat you properly. Here is also the Hashem is called, in Pasuk Dalet, Hashem Tzvakos. And we know from the beginning of Shmuel that Tzvakos connotes a sign, a change in the control and master plan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the world. And here too, this is when the change is finally coming about. In this parak, the house of Eli is all going to die. Chofni Pinchas Eli are all going to die. And who's going to take over? Shmuel. Not only that, but at the end of the parak, I shouldn't give this away, but I'll give it away anyway. Who's going to be introduced at the end of this parak? This is really super. Shaul, how did you know? Shaul, yes. Shaul is introduced at the end of this parak. So Mamish, this parak is going from one host to the new host. This is it. This is the ma'avar, as we say. Now, there's a couple of things here in the Rishonim, the Yerushalmi and the Sifri and the Rishonim talk about the Great Line. Which Aron did they take the war? How many were there? There's a Pinyushami that there were two Aronos.
Two sets of Luchos.
Right, one for the real Luchos and one for the broken Luchos. And if so, which Aron did they take with them to this war? They were allowed, by the way, to take the Aron with the broken Luchos to war. That was Taka the Minog. Not in this case. According to some Rishonim, that's the one they took to war. And here, since they didn't take it properly, that's why they're staying in the captivity. According to other Rishonim, no, the Taka took the Aron with the real Luchos. The Aron with the Kruvin. And that was Taka the Avera. And it's according to some Rishonim, it's again, it's Machlok Tzvani Chazal. There was only one Aron. There weren't two Aronos, there was only one Aron. And that's the one Aron they took. This is a big Machlokus, it's not clear either way. The question is, basically, how you say Yosh, Aron Bris Hashem, how to read this line? Aron Bris Hashem Tzvokos Yoshev HaKruvim. Does it mean they took the Aron Bris Hashem Tzvokos with the Kruvim, where Hashem was, so to speak, residing, which means they took the primary Aron, because the Kruvim are on the primary Aron? Does it mean they took the Aron Bris of Hashem Tzvokos Yoshev HaKruvim? Because they took the other Aron, the one with the Shivrei Luchos, the broken Luchos. And Hashem, of course, where did he stay? He stayed Ben HaKruvim back in Shiloh. It's a big machlokas, which how to interpret the psukim. You understand?
The second interpretation is more consistent with the
trap. More consistent with the trap? I didn't even notice the trap. Yeah, you're right. It is more consistent with the trap. That's right. Okay, very good.
What was Shmuel doing during all this?
He's not.
Couldn't stop him.
Obviously, he's not. He doesn't even appear. Okay. Hey, Bob. It came to pass when Aron Bris Hashem came to the camp. Via real Kol Yisrael Tru Gedola, all Kol Yisrael made a great sound, a great noise. The earth trembled. Now the Rambam says this too is an avera. It says by Yericho, first they went around with the Aron quietly, and only afterwards did they make a trua. They surround the city with, and then only afterwards they made a trua. And here, out of overconfidence, they figured, oh, we don't need tshuva, we don't need tefillah, we got the Aron will do everything for us. So that's why they did a trua beforehand. That in and of itself is not there. By Ishva, Plishtim is called out to a trua, but the Plishtim, they heard the voice of this trua, they said, Take. By Yomru, Matt called a trua, what's in the sound is a big trua? Never see what the problem was. It was a true gedolah, not a tkiya gedolah. True gedolah is bad. Bavachane. Bavachane even in the camp of the Hebrews. They knew, somehow they became aware. Ki Aron Hashem bar machane, that the ark of God came to the camp. They were afraid. Ki Amru, they said, Barakim machane. Hashem came to their camp. Elohim, you notice they called God Elohim. They have no concept of Yuke Vavke. They regard our God just like their gods. So he's saying the God of the Jews came to the camp. For him, really said, wrote us because this never happened before. So from here, the Mepharshim would say that they brought the real Aron bring a raya. They say that the policemen were used to fighting against the Jews when they had the second Aron. But now they said, we never had this one before. The other one we could face. This one, we never faced it before. Aylanu, woe to us. Who's going to save us from these mighty gods? Elohim Elohim, these are the gods. Hamakim et Yitzrayim, who smote the Egyptians. V'chol makor b'midbar. In all the plagues b'midbar. There are a couple of interpretations here b'midbar. The Radak says b'midbar means, really quotes from his father, b'midbar means in with his word. B'midaber. In other words, that all of Hashem's makos come by speech. That's one interpretation. The Malbim says that the two different things here, Makim Mitzrayim, that was Bayam. Not only did he beat them in the Yam, he also beat them in the Midbar. So he's stressing that, boy, this God, they're very powerful. They can do both in the desert and in the sea. Wow. It's a very powerful God. What are we going to do? Finally, there's Chazal. If you take a look in Rashi says, the second line, or v'sifri shaninu, in the sifri we learn, sh'apashas v'yiru t'vayim, it's a mixed up pasuk. Misha'amayzeh, lo'amayzeh, there are two groups of plishtim. K'sherim sh'boyim, the power of the good Philistines said, but you never met a good Palestinian. No, there were once. K'sherim sh'boyim, what they said, mi'atzenim yad elokim adim el is going to save us from these powerful gods. For Rishoyim amru, the Rishoyim said, these were gods amakim, it's Mitzrayim, they were the ones who smote the Egyptians with all makas. Call makas shayu. In other words, all the power which this God had, he spent all of his power on the Egyptians. His meter ran out. He no longer has any capacity to meet out any makas. All right, it's late, and the next pasuk is a very, very important pasuk. Pasuk test. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of good Reb Tzedek on it, but I want to read it with you, and I'll leave you with it for next week because it's an important pasuk to think about. He's chazku. Take strength. V'heinu anoshim plishtim. Be Philistine men. It's an amazing thing. What does it mean to be anoshim? Why did he say anoshim plishtim? Why did you say be men? What does it mean anoshim plishtim? We'll come back to that. Pentadu even, lest you succumb and be the worst thing is not to lose in war, the worst thing is to be slaves of the Jews. That's the worst. Like kasher avdu lachem, like they worshipped you. V'yisem anoshim be men. V'nil chamtem, you should go out and wage war. Alright, next week we'll come back to talk about what does it mean to be anoshim plishtim. What's the stress on plishtim?